write a song. Actually, God, I guess, wrote the song. Moses just wrote it down and then taught it to Israel. And we're going to be in this song for a few weeks because it has a lot of spiritual lessons in it. Remember, we saw last week in the book of Revelation that when we're in heaven, one of the things we're going to sing is the song of Moses, besides the song of the Lamb. So that must be this song. So tonight we're just going to look at the first 14 verses, and then we'll just, it's a long song. We're going to learn heaps from it, but let's just start at the beginning of Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is our rock, for he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found them in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led them about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttering over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, bearing them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. So our title tonight is My Doctrine. My Doctrine. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn so much from this song in the coming weeks, understanding that it's from you directly to your people. And Lord, that you want us to learn these lessons and apply them to our own walk. So have your will and way in our hearts tonight. And thank you for this privilege of meeting on a Sunday night, opening your word and hearing directly from you through the Holy Spirit. May your will be done in every heart. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. My doctrine. So we're going to look at a lot of doctrines in this song. Tonight, we're just going to look at the first two. So the first doctrine in this song is the person of God. You probably saw that here in verses 3 down through verse 6. It's God reminding us who he is. And wow, there's a lot in just these few verses, this first doctrine. So let's walk through it. We see, first of all, in verse 4, that God is the rock. Now, this is the first mention of God as the rock in the scriptures. And it's mentioned multiple times in this song, by the way, verse 15, verse 18, verse 30, verse 31, that God is the rock. Now we get to the New Testament. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus is the rock. Of course, that just proves the deity of Jesus Christ. But it starts off, God is the rock. God is the foundation of everything. Amen. And he is also, of course, the foundation of our salvation. Secondly, he's perfect. He wants his people to remember that he is perfect. God makes no mistakes. Thirdly, we see in verse 4, he is the judge. It's important that we understand this, that God will judge sin. And Israel did not understand this, which is why they continued to disobey. You and I understand it, and he judged sin at Calvary, and hallelujah, that judgment is done for those of us that are Christians, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we saw in the scriptures this morning, 2 Timothy 4, there will come a day when he will judge the quick and the dead. And that is our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, he is truth. Again, the first mention of God as truth. We're told in Romans 3:4 that only he is true. And Jesus, of course, told us that he is the way and the truth. Amen. Next, we see that God is sinless here in verse 4. And we're told that Jesus as well is sinless. Hebrews 4:15. Who knew no sin. Amen. And then we see that God is just. We're told in Exodus 34, he will in no wise clear the guilty. We're told in Acts chapter 3 that Jesus Christ is the just one. In other words, sin has to be punished, which is why Calvary was necessary. Then we see that God is right. God is always right. Then we see that God, verse 6, is the Father. Notice it says, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy Father? He is speaking to his people, Israel. He created the nation of Israel when he called Adam. And of course, in Isaiah 9:6, one of Jesus' names is the everlasting Father. Amen. Then we see that he is the Redeemer. Notice it says, he hath bought thee. God redeemed Israel from Egypt. He redeemed us from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, who is also referred to as the Redeemer. And then lastly, he is the Creator. Hath he not made thee and established thee? We get to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So that first doctrine is introducing, and that's basically a Bible doctrine class on God, isn't it? Introducing the person of God, reintroducing the person of God to his people. And that is that God is all of these things. He's the rock, he's perfect, he's the judge, he's true, he's sinless, he's just, he is right, he is the Father, he is the Redeemer, and he is the Creator. Little Bible doctrine lesson on God. That's the first part of the song, the first doctrine. But the second doctrine is that God, the Father, watches over his children. Amen. Aren't you thankful that he watches over his children? Let's look at it. Verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam and set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. I love it when God makes statements like this. The sons of Adam. Makes it clear that the creation story is not just a story. It's an actual account of creation. Amen. And that the sons of Adam were genuine people. And through them, God created nations. But notice verse 9, the Lord's portion is his people. God decided to create a nation from Jacob, from Israel. And God declared them as his chosen people, and they still are. Now they're in a state right now of chastisement, of being away from God, but God's not finished with them. And they one day will get their land, they will get their kingdom. But now, during this age, who are the people of God? It's us. Amen? Let's see that 1 Peter chapter 2. Before we talk about this second doctrine, that God watches over his children, let's make sure that that includes us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. God speaking to Christians. And look what he says, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. That's us. If you're a born-again Christian, you are part of the people of God. And this second doctrine is God watches over his people. God watches over his children. If you're a born-again Christian, you are God's child. Think about that. His child. Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn there quickly, tells us that when we became Christians, we not only became God's child, but we became joint heirs. Notice chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are God's children. The Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God. And as children of God, it's amazing to even talk about it. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this second doctrine in this song is that God watches over His children. My friend, if you're a born-again Christian, you are God's child. Now, back in our passage, verse 10, look how he refers to Israel. Even though they're still in a state of disobedience, even though they're still in a state of chastisement, of being scattered among the winds, look what it says. He found them in a desert land, talking about Abraham. And in the waste, howling wilderness, he led them about. He instructed him. Look at this last phrase. He kept him as the apple of his eye. You know, we don't hear that much today, do we? Everybody hates Israel. The UN hates Israel. Everybody wants to wipe off Israel off the map. They're still the apple of his eye. Amen? But when you and I were born again, we got to be part of that too. And he says in verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Isaiah 40:31, I know most of you know it, but let's look at it. Hopefully you know it as a memory verse. It's a beautiful verse talking about those that wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. That's us. They shall run and not be weary. That's, you know, our me and Brent's marathon verse. And they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Wings as eagles. That's God's children. So back to our passage. Our second doctrine is God the Father watches over His children. He leads them. Look at verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him. Never forget, God leads us. If we will let Him, He gave us a free will. But He's our Father, and He wants to lead us. He wants to show us the way. He wants to lead us. God doesn't say when we get saved, He doesn't just push us and say, go, I'll see you when you get to heaven. No, He says, come with me. Let me lead you. Let me show you where to go. Let me guide you. Amen? And that is so beautiful. That's a beautiful doctrine that God watches over and leads His children. And there's so many verses we could look at, but let's go to Psalm 61:2, one of my favorites, the one I wrote that song that we sing. Psalm 61:2, what does it say? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Who's the rock? God. When our heart is overwhelmed, what do we need to do? We need to go to the rock. And then Psalm 91, let's look at that quickly. Verse 1 and verse 4. God leads and watches over His children. That's doctrine from this Song of Moses. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Amen? His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. There is no greater shield and buckler than God's truth. And God promises that we can hide under His wings. But we get to the New Testament. What does Jesus say? Look at Matthew chapter 28. Yes, God watches over and leads his children. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus giving his final marching orders to the disciples and us, telling us to go, telling us to teach and baptize, but then he finishes in verse 20, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Hebrews 13, 5. I'm with thee always. Jesus is always with us. And then 2 Thessalonians 3, 3, if you want to turn there quickly. Even as Christians, we are God's children. And doctrine number 2, from the Song of Moses, God the Father watches over and leads his children. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Let's look at the last part of this doctrine in verse 13 of our passage, Deuteronomy 32, verse 13. God doesn't just lead us. God, if we will walk with him and follow him, God allows us, which is beautiful, to live above our circumstances. Now, the world doesn't understand this because they can't do it. But look what it says. He made him ride on high places. Amen? It doesn't matter how bad life gets. We can live above the trials and the problems that we face as Christians because we know that God is with us. God is leading us. And the only reason we're going through this trial is because God has a purpose and a plan for it. But we are so unique from the world in that sense that no matter how bad things get, we can live above them because we have Jesus and we're going to heaven. We know he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We know he will protect and lead us no matter what we face. Amen. He's promised this. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk. Like three books from the end of the Old Testament. Three books from the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi. So, Habakkuk 3, right at the end, talking about living above our circumstances as God leads us. Look what it says, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I would say Habakkuk was having a bad day. Look what it says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Now we know that God is not speaking literally here about us walking up on the ridges of the mountains, although that's fun to do sometimes. He's talking about us being able to live in the high places, to live above all these depressing things that we can face here on this earth. Everything is failing. Everything's falling apart. So, God never leaves us. God always protects us. God always leads us. God always has a purpose. And that's the second doctrine that he's giving his children, because these first two doctrines, very positive, but the next three doctrines, not positive because of their behavior, because of their disobedience. But I'm thankful that you and I can claim these same truths, that our Father watches over us and that we can ride on the high places. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter how bad it gets, we can ride on the high places because we have the Lord. We have his word. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of the return of Jesus. Doesn't matter how bad things get. That's our second doctrine. God is always, always watching over his children. And we are his children. And that's a beautiful doctrine. So Moses said, my doctrine, I'm going to give you some doctrine in a song. And you're going to sing it in heaven one day. Thankfully, we'll know the words perfectly. What is the doctrine? Well, number one, God is God. God is amazing. God is unlike any other God of the heathen. God is the God of the Bible. God is perfect and he's true. He's sinless. He's just. God is always right. God is our creator and our redeemer and so forth. After being taught that, then he says, now I want you to know that your God, your Father, always watches over his children. But part of that, which we'll learn next week, part of that watching over his children is the chastisement. Sometimes we need that. Just like when we were raising our kids. Sometimes they needed some chastisement. Not because we didn't love them, but because we did love them. Amen? Why does God chastise us? Because he loves us. But for now, let's finish on a positive note. Doctrine number two, God, the Father, watches over his children. Hallelujah for that. Never forget that. God has never forsaken us and never will. No matter what we face, you and I can ride on the high places. Doesn't matter how bad it gets here on the earth, you can still ride on the high places. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious and powerful word, for encouraging us with these two doctrines tonight from your Song of Moses, and pray, Lord, that we would never forget who you are. Lord, that we would never forget to worship you in our quiet time for who you are, that you are worthy of all honor and glory and blessing and power, wisdom and riches, strength, thanksgiving, might, salvation. You're just worthy of all. May we never forget this, Lord, and may we also never forget that you always watch over your children and lead us. So I pray that we would rest in that, rest in your arms, and that we would live and be able to walk in the high places. Thank you for teaching and speaking to us tonight.